I believe that I would have made a great Secretary of Labor. I believe that President Bush is going to make a great president. I worked very, very hard for his election, and I want his administration to succeed.
Linda Chavez speaking Tuesday and withdrawing her nomination to become Labor Secretary. She complained that all the attention paid to her relationship with an illegal immigrant was an example of what she called the politics of personal destruction. By the end of the week, President-elect Bush nominated Elaine Chao. Dan Shore joined us. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Scott.
And let me ask you this. Did Ms. Chavez have the unstinting support of President-elect Bush, and was she unfairly assailed for an act of generosity?
No, in short. Yeah. She certainly did not get a lot of support from President Bush on this. Mm-hmm. President-elect Bush, I still have to say, for one more week. All right. And what it showed about the president-elect is what the dumping of Zoe Baird and Kimball Wood and Lanny Guinier showed about Bill Clinton. That is to say that loyalty to the president is rather a one-way street. And there were other examples of that, mm-hmm. which are not so public. Governor Frank Keating of Oklahoma, who was very, very loyal to Bush, was under consideration first for running mate and then for attorney general, and didn't get it. Why? Because it appears that he accepted the help of Jack Dreyfus, the financier, in helping to send his kids to college, which nobody thought was a big deal. All right. Now, as to Linda Chavez, it just has to be made very clear mm-hmm. that her problem was not taking in a needy illegal immigrant. The 1986 Immigration Act that makes employers responsible for undocumented aliens, that's generally regarded is very harsh, and you could really have made a big case about it's all wrong, and it comes to compassionate conservatism and helping people. But the real problem of Linda Chavez was that she was not very forthcoming about all this, either to the transition team nor to the FBI, more perilously. And she apparently tried to draw a neighbor into maintaining silence. So, in a word, her problem really wasn't what she did. I think Richard Nixon would say it very well if he were here, that it's the cover-up that becomes dangerous. Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of more controversial nominations that are coming up. Gail Norton at Interior and in particular, John Ashcroft at Justice. Mm-hmm. Does Ms. Chavez's withdrawal embolden the opponents of those nominations or reconcile them a little more?
No, I don't think they're reconciled and emboldening. When any time a president displays weakness on an issue, it usually encourages further opposition to him. And basically, Linda Chavez was one of three targets who aroused a great deal of opposition. She wasn't the leading one. Mm-hmm. Environmental groups don't like Gail Norton very much because of her various known positions in the Mountain States on environmental matters. But it looks as though the climactic confirmation battle will be over ex-Senator John Ashcroft of Missouri, who has been nominated for Attorney General.
Well, what about the opposition of civil rights groups? What does that portend for the nature of the debate and the kind of resources they can rally to oppose that nomination?
Well, they can march. And they can organize, and they organize in a coalition, and they will make themselves heard. And yet, you know, if you were to count noses in the Senate as of today, there is only one senator I know of, Barbara Boxer of California, who is committed to voting against Ashcroft. But, Scott, you know, this is a quite dynamic process. You have to see how it develops in the 3 days of hearings that start next Tuesday. Ashcroft has to explain how he intends to enforce abortion rights, gun control, school pair restrictions, all these things which he says he abhors on moral grounds. Mm-hmm. Can he be entrusted then to carry these things out as Attorney General? And then there'll be a very dramatic moment, I think, next Thursday, when Judge Ronnie White, an African-American, whom Senator Ashcroft vetoed, called mm-hmm. pro-criminal, and he comes up to testify. Explanation also about his connection with Bob Jones University, all of that. Mm-hmm. At the moment, it would seem that he has an odds-on chance of confirmation. But that at the moment has to be stressed because there are a lot of senators with their fingers up waiting to see how the wind blows.
And as you've pointed out before, in the confirmation process, there's always the unexpected stuff we don't.
Well, that's right. There's always that little something that sometimes comes up, whether it can be your financing, whether it can be illegal aliens, nannygate, or whatever. And we don't know what's going to happen until it happens. And so, therefore, it is not very safe to make broad predictions at this point.
Let me ask you about President Clinton during these last 10 days of his administration. He's been quite busy and is outspoken in saying there's no recession, contradicting President
Yeah. You would think that Bush and Clinton are facing each other in an election contest to hear them both speak. There's Clinton. He's having a ball that goes around challenging the legitimacy of Bush's election because of the vote count in Florida about recession. Bush says in an interview he's pessimistic that there is going to be a recession, presumably because he thinks that's a good argument for his $1.3 trillion tax cut. Mm-hmm. And because if there is a recession, he certainly wants it known that it started on Clinton's watch. So President Clinton, who counts prosperity as the greatest part of his legacy, said, nonsense about recession. We're in great shape. Last economic report that came out of the White House now speaks of prosperity and progress. It really is wonderful to see these guys having at each other.
Mm-hmm. But how do you read a president-elect Bush? Is he, may I put it this way, bent on going to the wall for that $1.3 trillion tax cut?
Well, he says that's still his purpose, although congressional leaders like Speaker Dennis Hastert say that there isn't a chance it's going to happen. The way it looks to me is that the president-elect gets brownie points with the conservative base as long as he is seen to be trying very hard to get that very, very big tax cut. Mm-hmm. If at some point he says, well, I guess we can't make it, let's have a part of it, let's have inheritance tax, let's have this first, marriage penalty, and does it step by step, that'll only be after he is seen sort of falling on his sword and saying, boy, did I ever try.
Mm-hmm. Administration, of course, is making a last effort to bring about some kind of agreement in the Middle East. There are reports today that Shimon Peres and Yasser Arafat are going to meet tonight. And we should note there were a couple of public executions in Gaza City today of people convicted of by the Palestine National Authority of collaborating
with Israel. Now, mind you, Israel and the Palestinians are officially under the Oslo Peace Process partners.
Yeah.
They're partners for peace. And if they're partners for peace, you know, how is it that somebody can be executed for working with the other partner?
I mean, arguably, when Mr. Arafat shakes hands with Shimon Peres in a few hours, some people would consider that collaboration. How do you rank the chances of an agreement at this point, so close to Israel's presidential election?
Well, very low. It looks as though the Oslo peace process is dead, barring a miracle, although that's the part of the world where miracles were invented. Now, National Security Advisor Sandy Berger is urging the Bush administration to be ready to pick up these negotiations without delay because he says it's a situation that won't stand still. If it doesn't get better, it'll quickly get worse. But there is really no indication that Bush will move very quickly on the Middle East. Apparently, he's giving higher priority to Iran and to Iraq. And there's a certain irony because what faces the president-elect in Iraq is finishing the job of ousting Saddam Hussein that his father left unfinished at the end of the Gulf War.
Let me ask you this finally. The Clinton administration let it be known this week that a pilot who was shot down during the Gulf War and had believed to be dead might in fact be alive after 10 years.
Well, American intelligence is supposed to have information that a Navy pilot originally believed to have been shot down in 1991 over Karak may have been seen in a war prisoner camp. Not really very wise if you have intelligence information and from where it might come is to make that public. Now the administration sent a diplomatic note to Iraq demanding an accounting. We don't have diplomatic relations with this country, but they want an accounting. I think it's a kind of a weird thing they've done. If they want this guy, they really should have done it in some completely other way.
Okay. Thanks very much, Dan Shore.